So USC recently hosted the 17th annual Braille Challenge Finals competition with participants from US and Canada, from all over the place. It's the only national reading and writing contest in Braille for students who are blind and visually impaired. And this is all brought about by the Braille Institute. So we are joined by Sergio Oliva. He's the Director of National Programs for the Braille Institute of America. You manage the growth of national programs, including the Braille Challenge. And then you also have worked with mentoring programs for at-risk youth. You went to Cornell, and you're used to working with young people in challenging situations, yes?
That's absolutely correct.
So USC, boy, they were like the headquarters for this finals competition, and families and students were hearing about them all over the country.
Yeah. So we actually started what we call the Braille Challenge Village. Mm-hmm. And so the entire weekend for the finalists really revolved around the Braille Challenge Village. The Braille Challenge Village was really on-campus apartments where we had a lot of the families stay. And as I was sharing with you earlier, one of the things that why we moved this program to a university is to really demystify higher education for this population. We wanted to really bring a lot of the parents and the finalists, a lot of their siblings, so that they could really step foot on this campus, which was for many of them the first time mm-hmm. that they ever went to a university. And so it was really about demystifying higher ed and continuing that conversation across the country and in Canada.
And it's the first time they've ever been in Los Angeles to experience the city. So many things that are different here, because there were a lot of smaller competitions, right, leading up to this.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So the Braille Challenge is it's a two-part sort of program. And so between January and mid-March, we have what are called preliminaries. And we're actually at 51 regionals across the United States and Canada. So we partner with a lot of similar agencies like Braille Institute, also some schools for the blind. And so from those regionals, we actually select the top 10 in each of our five categories. And that's how we end up with our 50 finalists, which is a huge deal to just make it to finals, period.
Mm-hmm. Because you start with over 1,000?
Yeah. We had 1,167 students take the contest this year. And from there, we selected the top 50.
Right. And you have winners in different places, different categories, different grades. How does the challenge work? What are the students doing to participate in this?
Yeah. One of the things that I want to really mention is, why is Braille important? 17 years ago, when this program started, we actually got together as an organization and we started talking about what's really needed, who really is successful. We found that 73% of the visually impaired community was unemployed between the ages of 18 and 35. And further, when we actually had deeper discussions, we realized that those that are employed, 93% of them are Braille readers. And so this really started as an academic program to promote Braille literacy. What we didn't realize is that it was going to turn it into this giant program that really promotes not just Braille literacy, but also socialization skills. It allows people to really, come together like the parents. So how it really works is every regional has a one-day challenge. And so it consists of five different categories, five different contests. And there's also workshops for parents, for a lot of our staff, volunteers, and just educating the community. But the whole point is really around the students. And it's really, this is the only sort of place where they get to compete academically with some of their peers. Because a lot of the students that we work with are actually in mainstream classrooms. So a lot of times they're like the only blind, visually impaired kid in their whole school. So when they actually come to our events, they're just thrilled because they socialize, they network, they stay in touch with each other. And it just turns into this sort of annual thing that every single finalist continues to look forward to, as well as parents.
Mm-hmm. One of the contests that they would work on, would that be writing, like a writing contest, and you would write a story, or you would get through a story or interpret a story? Can you give me an example of what they would be doing?
Absolutely.
During the competition?
Absolutely. So I always tell people that to think of the Braille Challenge as a combination between our National Spelling Bee and the Academic Decathlon. Mm-hmm. And so for the younger students, we actually have one of the contests. It's spelling. And so you have a proctor that is, you know, using the different words. And then you see their tiny hands just like brailing into the Perkins Brailler, like the different words. So that's mm-hmm. one of the contests. The reason why we went with spelling is it's fun. It's also a way to promote, you know, proper spelling in their sort of classrooms. One of the other contests that we actually have for the older students is charts and graphs. So you may think, like, why charts and graphs? One of the things that we also learned is that when students get to high school, when they go to college, you have to know how to read tactile images. Mm-hmm. These images are raised dots so that they can actually, or lines, so that they can actually follow along. It's a skill that's very much needed. And so we wanted to, again, help them prepare for college or that post-high school sort of next step. And so charts and graphs is really important. We come up with always these challenging different graphs or maps. And obviously we have a lot of questions that are very, it allows them to critically think about certain things, but still promoting the ability to read tactile images. Mm-hmm. And the other two are reading comprehension, just to really mirror, you know, SAT test or and whatnot. And one of the other ones that I always joke with all of the families and the students is the speed and accuracy. And I say speed and accuracy, and I'm smiling because speed and accuracy, they get a passage, they hear it, auditory, they hear it, and then they're supposed to braille what passage they're hearing mm-hmm. with accuracy and also speed. Mm-hmm. So here's the funny part. So I always say it's like the roller coaster that the students want to beat. It's the sort of mountain that they want to climb. And so it's a love-hate relationship. The students love the contest, speed and accuracy, but the contest doesn't quite love them back because it's very challenging.
Yeah, but that's exciting. So this is a skill that takes a long time to learn.
Correct. One of the things that we actually address is that we welcome everybody, even the early Braille learners. The day, like we mentioned earlier, it just has so many activities, so many resources for parents, for the actual contestants, that you don't have to be an excellent Braille reader. Part of what you get is this whole Braille Challenge experience, which is meeting people, really learning some advocacy skills. But yes, most of the students that actually, you know, especially those that make it to finals, they have been Braille readers since they were toddlers. A lot of the parents introduced Braille early on by taking the traditional sort of children's books. And we actually work with a lot of families that we put Braille embossables on top. Mm-hmm. And so parents are reading to their children, and the students, as early as 1 or a couple of months, are just, well, maybe not a couple of months, but, you know, 1 or 2 years old, they're feeling the dots. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of ways to introduce Braille before you become a Braille expert or Braille reader. So we welcome everybody. But yes, if you want to be competitive and have that sort of drive to make it to finals, it takes a lot of strong Braille literacy skills.
Right. We talked about the different grades, and I have the varsity category here, which is the older teens. And we had a third place from Morro Bay. So from California, there was someone in the top three in the upper division.
Right. Great story about
Cricket.
Uh-huh. Biddleman. Yeah. She's actually one of our students for one of our youth programs in Santa Barbara. Cricket is actually the first place varsity winner for the past 2 years. And so we actually had the national trophy live with us here in Southern California for the past 2 years. Amazing young woman. She just got accepted to Stanford, is heading there this fall. Her mentor, because we actually pair, you know, the students that are actually going to college from the finals with another alumni that participated in Braille Challenge. Her mentor happens to be Tiffany Zhao, who's going to UC Berkeley. Mm-hmm. She won first place varsity a few years ago. And so we're so thrilled for Cricket. She started coming to Braille Challenge in the first grade. She never missed a year. 12 years later, she is heading to Stanford, and we could not be more proud of Cricket.
Congratulations to Cricket and to all of the other students who participated. This was June 17th at USC over that weekend.
Correct.
Uh-huh. It all started in the smaller towns, you know, 46 different competitions, I believe, to all culminate in the finals competition. There are six main centers, right? Six main centers of the Braille Institute in Southern California alone. And then you have teen and youth programs serving kids from 6 to 18 with educational and other types of activities. At the Braille Institute, you help adults, you help little ones. You know, we're talking little kids, toddlers, and then you help the children in between, and you've got those youth and teen programs.
That's correct. And one of the neat things about working at Braille Institute is that all of our services are free. And so we do depend on a lot of, you know, private donations, but the beauty of this is that it allows us to really dream big when it comes to really reinventing and reassessing programs and deliver them in a very creative but fun way for the students. So we're just really thrilled, and we're just very happy that we get to do this work every single day. The main sort of drive is that we want to let all of our students know that they can experience and achieve anything that they want. And a lot of people, I hear all these stories from our youth say, oh, you know, when I tell somebody that I'm visually impaired, that I'm blind, they see me with different eyes. And so here's a sort of space to build your leadership skills, to really build that confidence and socialize with other students, but then take those same skills and go back to your mainstream schools and engage with other students. And so it's a really neat thing that you see happen when they start coming to our programs. And by the time they graduate and they're moving on, they're just that much more confident, and that they're way more welcoming of different experiences.
And thank you to the Braille Institute for that, and for all of the team members and everybody who works at the Braille Institute.
Please visit our website, brailleinstitute.org, to really learn different ways of how they can be involved. We're always looking for sighted guides for a lot of our students. When we go rock climbing, when we take different college day trips. So if you just log on to our website, you'll find a lot of information how you can get involved.
And you can find out about Sergio also. Sergio Oliva. Thanks, Sergio.